Somebody wrote one time, they said, take a cup of love and two cups of loyalty and three cups of forgiveness and four quarts of faith and one barrel of laughter. And take love and loyalty and mix it thoroughly with faith. Blend it with tenderness, kindness, and understanding. Add friendship and hope. Sprinkle abundantly with laughter. Bake it with sunshine. Wrap it regularly with lots of hugs. Serve generous helpings daily, and you've got a marvelous recipe for a happy marriage. Praise the Lord. That's what he says, and that is a recipe for a happy marriage. And the Bible says here in John chapter 2, on the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Now, we don't know who got married, but somehow or another they knew Jesus and they knew Mary. And the Bible says here it was the third day. Now, when they got married back in those days, it lasted 7 or 8 days. The marriage ceremony would go on for 7 or 8 days. I mean, it was a big, big thing, and they took these things very seriously. And I read and studied this one place that this probably happened on a Wednesday because the Sanhedrin had court on Thursdays and Fridays, and they did other business on Tuesdays. So most of the time, the little Jewish couple would get married on a Wednesday. And this is the third day here. Mary is somehow involved in this wedding and this ceremony right here. And Jesus and his disciples was there. And he hadn't done any miracles yet. He hadn't manifested himself on who he was. But Mary knew who he was, as we know, because the Holy Ghost had told her when she was pregnant with Jesus that he was the Son of God. And so she goes to this. She goes to Jesus and she says, there's no wine, and they need wine at this wedding. And you say, why do they need wine at the wedding? Well, the water was very bad to drink at that time. And what would happen is if the man didn't have any, the man hosting the wedding, if he didn't have something for him to drink at this big shindig, it brought great dishonor and it brought great shame to him. And as a matter of fact, he could be fined. I mean, people would complain about it. He could be fined for putting on something and not having enough substance to give. So it was a big deal here that he had something to drink. And Mary is somewhat a part of this thing. And so she don't know what to do, but she does what she knows that she needs to do, is she goes to Jesus. And about this little marriage right here, they get started off right, don't they? And listen, if we have more marriages today that start off inviting Jesus into the place, it would probably last longer and do a lot better. Amen. So they started off right with the right person, and they got in a place because they started off with the right person. They had problems that they needed to go to somebody with, and in life, there's going to be problems that are coming at us that we're going to not be able to face ourselves, that we're not going to be able to help ourselves, that we're going to need somebody to help us. And Mary recognized that, and Mary went to Jesus with this problem. And with all this said and done at the end of this chapter, at the end of what I just read, Brother Bubby, there's great peace and great joy. What a simple formula for a happy life and a happy marriage is to have Jesus in there, get that real peace established there, and go to Him with all your problems. But the Bible said that she went unto Jesus, and Jesus said, woman, what will thou have me to do? My time is not yet come. Now, Brother Glenn, you and I read that and we think, well, that's awful rude. He's a scolder. No, he's not. He's showing, my time is not yet. They don't know who I am as of yet. She don't say anything to him. But in verse 5, she says this, and this is what I want us to get a hold of. She says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you now, do it. I believe our church would have a whole lot more power. I believe our community would be changed. I believe our homes and families would be a whole lot different if just we just did whatsoever he saith to do. We come in here many times and we stifle and quench the very Spirit of God because we're not doing what thus saith the Lord. She said, look, whatsoever he saith to you, you do it. She didn't know what he was going to do. She didn't know how he was going to do it. But she knew she had to flee to Jesus with her problem. And then she looked at them boys and she said, whatsoever he doeth, doeth. In other words, she's saying, just follow his commands. How come it is we go around all our life and we're eat up with worry and we're eat up with stress and we try to work things out ourselves. There was nothing this man could do right here. He didn't have any wine. There was nothing these servants can do. Listen, there was nothing they could do. They can't turn water into wine. But she said, whatever he says, I'll do it. We'd be a lot better off if we just follow his commands. One of his commands is this: come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And what did he say? I will give you rest. But we'll go everywhere else and look for everywhere else for a little peace. Or we'll walk around with a bunch of burdens on our shoulders and carry around all these cares. When he says in 1 Peter 5:7, Brother Randall, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then something will happen in our life. Something will fly into our life sideways. And we say, we don't know what this is going to happen. But we forget what he says in Romans 8:28. And we know that what? All things work together for good to them that love God. That's all things. That means what we think's good, what we think's bad, even our mess ups. He says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And she gets in a spot right here. And she says, boys, whatsoever he saith unto you, just do it. Boy, if we get that in our heart, like I preached in here Sunday about Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. If we get John 2:5, bore down our hearts, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. We know the end of the story, brother. They're going to end up happy right here. But it did not work out until somebody obeyed what God said. You know what our problem is? We don't obey what God says. It don't do a bit of good for people to lay on this altar and cry and to pray 100 hours a day if we're not going to do what God says to do. He says obedience is what? Better than sacrifice. We can donate and donate and donate and pray and pray and pray, but until we get to doing what God says to do, it is never going to work out in our lives. Amen. Amen. She says, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. Now, I'm going to ask you something. When God ever tell you to do something and you ain't doing it? God ever ask you or burden you to do something and you don't do it? I know I have. And I know it's God said it to me. Whatsoever, she said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Well, that's personal, ain't it? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. They didn't question. They didn't argue. They didn't complain. They just looked at her. She says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Listen, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I can think about times in my life. I'm driving down a place and God speak one word to me, and I can take you to the right place where he spoke that word to me, and it's always through the scripture, something in the Bible, and I know it's from God. And God says, until you do this, this ain't going to happen. Until you do this, you can pray and worry and chew on your nails down to your elbows, and it ain't going to work out. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. We got people in this very church. Listen to me. It is never going to get any better in their life. They're always going to be like a termite in a yo-yo, going in circles, Brother Randall, because they're not doing now what God says to do. They're not doing the Word of God. They're not doing what they know to do. And she's got enough sense. She knows who she's dealing with. They don't even know him. But she looks at them and she says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. In the book of Joshua, they're marching around Jericho wall. Y'all remember that story? I refer to it all the time because it's such a great story. Because every one of us in here got Jericho walls in our life. And Joshua said, hey, we're going to walk around that thing one time, 7 days. And then on the seventh day, we're going to march around it 7 times. Now think about that for a minute. In that hot Middle Eastern sun, with all that garb on, marching around that thing, over 100,000 people marching around that that thing, Jason, blowing those trumpets with them people sitting on the walls making fun of them, hollering at them. You know they're sweating. You know they're burning up. And Joshua says, go around that seven times and don't even speak a word. Hey, listen to me. Can you imagine that? All of us going around and around like that. It don't make a lick of sense. But whatever God says to do, bless God, you and I ought to do it, amen. Amen. You say, well, Brother Kevin, they needed wine. And Jesus says, pour water in. That don't make 1 ounce sense. They needed wine, and Jesus says, pour water in there. But what did she say before he said anything about water pouring in there? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That don't make a lick of sense. He didn't ask me, it made any sense. I don't like it that way. He didn't ask me like it that way, Brother Ricky. He said, whatsoever he saith to do, do it. Now you say, well, how much is a firkin? He said, firkins. We don't know what a firkin is. You know how much a firkin is? You know how much water these boys poured into six pots? They poured about 160 gallons of water into them six pots. Now they didn't have water spigots. No, sir. They didn't have city water. They had to go. Somebody had to go and pack gallons of water and pour into all them buckets. We don't know how many servants it was. It might have been young boys. It might have been young girls. We don't know. They were servants there. But Jesus says, go fill them up. Somebody had to take his word and act upon his word. Somebody had to be committed enough and do it just exactly like he said to do it. And you say, brother, what are you saying there? Well, let me tell you something. This old hit and miss stuff that people do, it don't get nowhere with God. He's wanting people to be committed. He's wanting people to be faithful. Brother Ricky said it tonight. He said, I didn't feel good, but I wanted to be out here. And it affected Sister Shirley. And listen, it blessed her and encouraged her. And it encouraged me and everybody else in here. Because whatsoever he said to do, I'll do it. He said, brother comes into church about a month ago. He hadn't been here in a few weeks. He said, ain't you going to ask me where I've been? I said, nope. It don't do me a bit of good to ask you where you been. But until you start doing what God says do, it don't make no matter what Brother Kevin says. You know what God says to do. Either you're going to make up your mind or not that you're going to do it. And if you ain't going to do it, you ain't going to be blessed now. You ain't going to be helped of God until you start doing what God says to do. Amen. Amen. Somebody had to be obedient, buddy. That's the hardest thing for us to do, ain't it? Be obedient to what God says to do. And because when God says to do something, sometimes it don't make a lick of sense to us. When he said, this is so unconventional to take water, Drew, and pour in to them stone pots. I mean, who would have thought of that? Nobody would ever have thought of that. Somebody said, why didn't Jesus just bring down the wine from heaven and fill the pots? Jesus don't work that way. Jesus told them boys to go get the water and pour in the pots. He could have done it that way. Brother Randall, he could have snapped his fingers, do whatever he wanted to do. Why didn't God have the angel already in the fire? Listen, why didn't God have the angel keep the three Hebrew boys out of the fire before they got in? God don't work that way. God, they went in the fire and God was in there with them. It don't make sense, I know. But God is looking for his people to be obedient, amen. She said, whatsoever he saith to do, you do it. You say, Kevin, it don't make a lick of sense, I know. But Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 says what? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts above our thoughts. We get messed up, Kim. We think we're smarter than God. When we think we know better than God. Or we think we can skirt around what God says. Brother Gam, listen to me. There ain't no substitute for what God says. And know something else, listen. God knows, Ricky, what we can understand. And God knows what we comprehend. And God tells you to do something. You need not come and ask Brother Kevin. Well, you know what God told you to do. He makes it real plain and clear what you and I ought to do, don't he? And you know it. It's like when you was lost. You knew he was lost. And you knew God was dealing with you. It didn't make no difference what nobody else said. Because God makes it clear. And makes it plain to us. But God says, until you obey what I've already told you to do, I'm not going to tell you anything else to do. Until you obey where you're supposed to be. Doing what you're supposed to be at. Listen, I'm not going to give you nothing else to do. Amen. Now, they didn't speak. They didn't sing. They didn't preach. They just did what God said to do. Amen? They just did what God said to do. And it was so unconventional and so uncommon, and it was so unbelievable right here at the very end, but they just did what God said to do. Now look what the text says. There were 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. What's that mean? Containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. What does that mean? Here's what that means. In those days, they didn't have running water. They had purifying pots. When you come in, you was required to wash your hands, wash your feet, and wash your dirty face in them water pots that was sitting there. It was nasty water pots. Jesus didn't go get some. Did he tell them to go get new water pots? He said, I want them ones that's used for the purifying of the Jews to pour water into. Now, you know in those boys' mind, everything in the world's going through their mind. What in the world are we doing? But they don't say a word, do they? They just do what they're told to do. Listen, and I know sometimes somebody will preach something and you'll say, I don't know about that. Or I don't know about this. Or I don't know about that. But something inside you says, you know what? I better just do what he said to do. I better just hold on to what he preached. I better just treasure that up in my heart. That's the right response right there. Because God, listen to me. God don't do things based on what makes sense to us. God does things to see if you and I will obey what he says to do. And he says, right there's those pots, purifying pots, nasty pots. He said, I want you boys to fill them up to water. Now listen, not only did they obey God, Brother Glenn, but the Bible said that they filled them up what? To the brim. They didn't fill them up halfway. They didn't fill them up just a little bit just to say, well, I got the job done. No, sir. They filled them up all the way to the top. Not only was they obedient and committed in their obedience, brother, but listen to me. They did what they could do with what they had. You know what God wants us to do? He just wants us to do what we can with what he gives us to do. God ain't got me pastoring a 1,000-member church in a big area somewhere. God's called me in these mountains right here to you people. And God's called you in here. And God just wants us to be faithful and committed and do what we can do where God has placed us at and where God has placed us to work at. God ain't called everybody to preach. God don't have everybody sing. God don't have everybody testify. God don't have everybody say things. But God's called us to do what he's placed us to do. And the best thing you and I can do, brother, is just do what God says to do. Amen. Now, here's something I thought about. She says, Jason, in verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Then you go to verse 7, from verse 6 to 7. How much time passed between verse 5 and verse 7? We don't know, do we? See, we read the Bible, we think, well, right then and there, Jesus, we don't know that. They may have had to wait an hour, Ricky. They may have had to stand around there and wait an hour. They may have had to wait 5 hours. I don't know. They may have had to wait an whole day. I don't know. These things lasted 7-8 days, these weddings. But they stood right there waiting to hear what he had to say. You know where we mess up, Bubby? Or I'm going to tell you where we mess up at. We get in a hurry and get ahead of God. Yep. Now she says, whatever he saith to do, you do it. He ain't said nothing to them yet. Now, they're no doubt standing there looking around, but they stand there and they look around. They don't do nothing until they hear from God. You say, what do you mean? Listen to me. You know what? You know when you do what you do? You stay doing what you're doing until you hear differently from God. God don't tell you no difference. You better just stay in your place. Huh? God don't tell you no difference. You better just stay where you're at. And don't make no rash moves now. And don't think, well, I just try to help God out. Because listen to me. Abraham and Sarah tried to help God out too, didn't they, one time? They paid for it the rest of their life with an Ishmael. You don't want to just jump out there and try to help God. But stay patient and stay in your place. Because he's going to tell you to do something. And whatsoever he saith unto you, there you just do it. And listen to me. They was just obedient where they was at. They just got to doing what God had told them to do. Now them 6 water pots could just hold a certain amount of water, about 160 gallons. But they was committed. I bet it was hot. I bet that water was heavy. But they went ahead and made those trips. Why, Brother Kevin? Because they was just doing what God said to do. Amen. You say, well, I don't do nothing. You're doing what God said. You are tonight. You're here. You're doing what God says to do. Well, where does God say go to church at? Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of your matter of self, as a matter of some is. God says go to church. Does he not? Amen. That's obedience. Now, listen. You young people that's in here. If you're not going to be obedient in a little thing like attending church, how God going to use you to do something else? You ever thought about that? If you're not going to be obedient in a simple act like attending a church service, how are you going to be trusted to do anything else? Oh, but we'll pray and say, God bless me here and God help me here. And God says, I can't even trust you to get to church faithfully. I can't even trust you to put what you can in the offering plate faithfully. I can't trust you to amen back up the preacher and pray. How can I trust you to do anything else? Amen. You're not being obedient in the things that you can do. So God ain't going to give us nothing else to do. Right? The preachers will say, Brother Kevin, I won't preach. I won't know the Bible. I won't be used of God. You better be careful of that. Because God is going to put you out there and going to see, oh, really? Are you going to be obedient? Are you going to be available? Are you really going to go through it? Are you going to be broke down? Are you going to go through these things? Because God's going to use you. That's what God's going to do. Hey, listen to me. But God is looking for his people to be obedient. I like that song, Glenn. Trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy with Jesus but what? But to trust and obey. It's trusting and obeying. And she says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Do it. As a preacher one time down south, Brother Bubby, he got up and he read John 2:5. He said, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. And he sat down. And they all was looking around. And he got up about 5 minutes later and said, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. He done that, brother, for 45 minutes. Finally, he got up, they're all looking around. He said, I'm going to say that until we get that in our heart and mind. Listen to me. And you and I as a Christian, I got to get in our heart and mind. Whatever God says for me to do, I'm just going to do it. Amen. Amen. He's obedient. Now, I said this. Jason, you had an opportunity today for a fellow you didn't even know. God put in your life. He's going through a trial. His mommy's dying. And he needs a kidney. So God gave you an opportunity today. Did God need Jason Burke to do that? No, God could have done it some other way, couldn't he? How many times in your life and in mine, I can't count the times that God has put somebody in my life, gave somebody an opportunity to really be a blessing to me and help me. Huh? You get to think about the times God's put somebody in your life and your path to be a blessing to you. And how many times in your life has God placed you in somebody's life to be a blessing to them? Listen to me, dear people. God don't need us. He could do it himself, couldn't he? I mean, if he wanted to, he could just drop it down out of heaven. If he wanted to, he could do anything he wants to do. But Jason, because these boys was obedient, Bubby, they had an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody that was in the need. Are you listening to me now? Because look what it says in the Bible right here in John 2:9. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, he didn't know where it come from. He tasted that wine and said, my gosh, where did this come from? But look what it says in parentheses right there. There ain't nothing in the Bible for accident. But the servants which drew the water knew. You ever do something for somebody and be a blessing to somebody and they thanking you and it makes you feel good, don't it? It makes you feel good that they're thanking you, that they appreciate that, but they don't know God. Ever happen to you, you try to help somebody that's lost? And you just being good to them. I mean, you don't have, you just being good to them. You just encouraging them. And they say, you're such a blessing to me. And it makes you feel good, and God sets it up that way because he wants us to get, that makes us feel good. But you know in your heart who where it come from. Are you listening to me? And then you'll walk away and you'll feel, man, you feel so uplifted. And all you did was something little. You might encourage a little cashier, give a little tip at the restaurant. I don't know what it is, but you bless somebody, and they was blessed for that. And they walk away, keying, and they're thanking you, and you saying, listen, it gives you an opportunity to witness, and it makes you feel so, but God used you because you was obedient, and he gave you an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody because of that. Ain't that amazing how God works that way?
that God of all heaven, listen to me, that made the creation, that spun out the moon and the stars, looks down and says, you know what, today I think I'm going to use Jason Burke to be a blessing to a little fellow that's down on his luck, that might need some prayer and some encouragement, and gave him an opportunity, put him in his path to be a blessing. How many of us could witness and testify that God does that in the school system, or God does that on the job, or God does that in your family or something, where God will use you because you've been obedient. He'll give you an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody, but you would have never been a blessing had you not obeyed.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
You ever try to invite somebody to church and there'll be somebody else goes to church? I know it because this happened to me at this church. They'll say, does such such go down to that church? I won't lie. I do, Bubby. I want to lie real fast. Now, someone say, no, son, no, you know. But you say, yeah. Yeah, they go there. And you know they got a sorry testimony. Yeah, I happen to every one of us, ain't it? It has. I just know you just might as well just laugh because it's the truth. And it ain't just this church. It's every one of our Benians that way. They'll say, there's such, they'll find that one goofball in the church that ain't right with God, that's half backslid, don't half attend. And they'll find that one and they'll say, does such such go down there? Ain't ever happened to you? You say, yeah, they go down there. But you don't go down there for them. You go down there for you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Well, they're a hypocrite. Well, just they like you are, and you can go to hell with them. Go be in hell with them forever. Go to church with them. They just come once a month. Just come sit with them on a Sunday, praise God. Right? I mean, just once a month, better than in hell forever, ain't it? Just come sit with them. Pray for them.
Yeah.
Amen? Because we all got problems. But God gives us an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
You might not have millions of dollars, but I tell you what, it's been worth a lot of money to me before, Brother Ricky, just somebody being nice to me.
Yep.
How about you? How about somebody being nice, just going out to the hospital, just somebody being nice to you, or just having to go to the bank, somebody being nice to you, or just go to the store, somebody being nice to you. We've lost that in this day and hour in which we live. About every institution we got's failing. But it's just such a blessing when you go somewhere and somebody wants to be nice to you and just cordial with you. But it's a blessing to you, ain't it? What I'm saying is this. If we'll be obedient now in the little things that God gives us to do and just stay committed at it, then God will give us an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Now, there's some obstacles before them. Jason, right here. Six water pots. You say, six water pots. What's that? Six. Watch him six water pots. What's that in there for? This is the first miracle Jesus does. This is it. This Jesus done 35 recorded miracles in the Bible. This is the first one he ever done. Not raised Lazarus from the dead. Not heal a leper. Not open the blinded eyes. He went to a wedding. Why? The very first institution God brings to us in the Scripture is marriage. Before government's established, before school system's established, He establishes the home, don't He? What's the devil torn down for the last 100, 200 years? The home. Marriage. All this stuff. What does the Bible end with in the book of Revelation? A marriage. The wedding supper of the Lamb. Amen. So Jesus, in the middle of all that, goes to a wedding. And there's six water pots there. Why not five water pots? Why not seven water pots? Why not four water pots? But the Bible says there's six water pots there. Man was created on what day? The sixth day. All through the Scripture, man's associated with the number six. This water pot represents you and I right there, brother. Just standing there empty. Just standing there like stone. A void of any kind of life whatsoever. And Jesus says, see them six water pots over there? I want you to go pour water into that. And it ain't going to turn to wine when you pour the first gallon in or the second gallon in. You got to fill it up to the brim. That is a picture of you and I right there. We're them empty water pots right there. And the water being poured into us is what? Of the Word of God. And when it gets filled to the brim, where it can't take no more, then who does the work inside? The servants couldn't turn the water into wine. They couldn't do that. But what they could do was pour the water in. And then Jesus had to do the miraculous. That's how you and I got saved. Of the water of the Word of God gets poured in our empty, hard-hearted selves. Listen, there's no life in us. There's no anything in us, and then Jesus does work in us and brings a miracle out of all that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But it wouldn't have happened, Glenn, but somebody had to obey. Somebody had to obey. Now, I preach my guts out here best I can. And then they'll walk out of here and they won't obey. They won't obey. Resist. Rebellious. Resist. And then their lives don't ever work out and they always got turmoil. And they don't ever have any peace and they don't ever have any joy. Why, Ken? Won't obey. God puts it on a burden, puts a burden on the preacher to preach, and you get that word and you won't obey. Will not obey. So because you won't obey, you don't get no opportunities. No opportunities, no obstacles get removed. Families stay lost. They ain't never going to be burdened. God ain't never going to get a hold of their hearts and save them because you won't obey. Listen, why would you feel, I thought about this. How would I feel before the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord say, always a bunch of people here going to hell because you won't obey. You never obeyed what I told you to do, and you knew I told you to do it. What do you mean obey? You wouldn't have come to church. You wouldn't have tried. You didn't encourage people that didn't go to church in your family or nothing else. You won't obey. So your son's going to hell. So your grandyoungins is going to hell. So your daughter's going to hell. So your wife, your husband's going to hell because you won't obey the little. How would you like to stand there for God, man? Think about that if you've got kids. How would you like to stand there for God? And because you wouldn't obey in the little, tiny little things that God gives us to do. Remember that parable Jesus told? They said, Lord, when do we ever see you blind? Or when do we ever see you naked? When do we ever see you locked up? He said, in so much you did it to the least of these. In the little things that you do, you did it in the act of obedience. And God does a miracle out of all that. But it starts when you and I are determined in our heart, God, I want to obey you. And you say, Lord, I have a hard time with obeying you. You know what you do? You say, Lord, help me to obey you. Help me. Give me a desire to do what I'm supposed to do. Give me the boldness and the courage to obey you and be what I'm supposed to be for you. Listen, and God will do that. If your heart's right and you're really submissive and you say, God, I want to obey you. I want to have blessings. I want to be a blessing. I want to overcome all these obstacles. Then God will do the work. But it ain't going to happen until you and I do what she says here. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Look at that verse. Whatsoever he saith unto you, you do it. Now, he ain't going to tell you what he tells me to do. But whatever he tells you to do, do it. And you'll be rewarded for that. And you'll be a blessing to other people because of that.